On May 28th, the Association of Ontario Neurologists expressed its concern that the McGuinty government's cuts to payments for certain laboratory tests will result in diminished test availability for patients suffering from neurological conditions. And joining us today to discuss this press release is Dr. Ranjit Singh, president of the Association of Ontario Neurologists. Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon, Barry.
How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. And thanks for allowing me on your program.
Oh, you're very welcome. I wanted to review this issue because, as I mentioned to our listeners just a bit earlier on, the cuts themselves that are being done seem to be done in a way that does not represent how medicine is practiced in this province. So I wanted to start and ask you first, what tests have been targeted for funding cuts that directly affect the neurologist's ability to provide care to their patients?
Well, there are two major tests. One of them is called electromyography, and the other one is called electroencephalography. The first one we use to measure the speed of nerves and the condition of muscles in diseases like neuropathy. And the EEG is used for diagnosing epilepsy and other brain diseases. The problem with this question of self-referral, as it's called, we are concerned about the unintended consequences of this and the adverse effects on our very vulnerable patients. What happens is that if patient A is referred to me for a consultation regarding the condition, say, of a nerve in the leg, I will be able to do a history, a physical examination, and in my own judgment, I may decide that I'd like to do some nerve conduction studies on the leg.
Mm-hmm.
Because I own my own equipment in Guelph, which is where I practice, I'm going to be penalized 50% of the cost of that test if I do it the same day and under the same circumstances. My concern is that we will likely have to send that patient away and have them referred back from wherever they came from at some future date to have that test done in order to avoid the penalty. But, you know, we can't afford to operate a private lab
right.
and take a 50% beating on each of those tests. So that's my concern, because some of the patients live far away, and I can just see the chaos of not only delaying diagnosis, but the hardships that they will have to go through in the winter to get here.
So in other words, if I were to say to refer someone to you with, as you mentioned, they may have numbness in a particular area of their foot, or they're getting weak in a particular area of the muscle, and they're starting to drop their foot, they can't lift their foot up, and I send them to you in order to evaluate if there's some nerve damage, or I'm trying to figure out if it's muscle or nerve damage, so I'm sending to you a neurologist in order to evaluate his nervous system. And as a matter of course, you do the evaluation, you do your physical exam, your history, and on the basis of that information, you then say, okay, this is, in terms of standard of care and how I work up this patient, I need to do this test to give me more information about whether my premise is actually true or not. And so on the basis of that, you say, I have everything here. I can do this test for you. It saves you time. It saves me time. I find out right away what's going on, and everybody is happy. But now, from what you're saying, is that the government is penalizing you for providing that particular type of care to the patient under the guise that you're self-referring. So in other words, they don't believe that the test is being done, I would guess, appropriately, if that's what they're saying, if they're concerned about self-referrals. And as a result, the patient is sent elsewhere and then to another neurologist or to a different lab or to a hospital. And then that information then has to come back to you, which then gets sent back to me. And the patient is the one that's traveling and going all over the place and is inconvenienced.
Exactly right. And imagine, you know, if you have a neuropathy, that is a painful condition in many instances. And also the disability is quite significant. To put patients through these unreasonable delays, it's just nothing short of crazy. You know, it does not make any sense whatsoever. And this is the kind of thing that we are looking at. The same would apply to an EEG.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine a patient with seizures, epilepsy, being referred, and these seizures are continuing. We need to make an urgent diagnosis so we can adjust treatment or whatever. Same principle applies. You know, we may have to either send them elsewhere or have them come back. You know, this is totally ridiculous. And, I mean, we have been trained. We are skilled people. I mean, there are 311 of us in the province. And we aim to provide excellence in neurological care.
Mm-hmm.
That's always been our mandate. And, you know, what we're doing here is sacrificing excellence because these people in government have wasted so many billions of dollars on e-health and, mm-hmm. and the Orange disaster that we and our patients are being forced to pay for this.
So to give
this doesn't make sense.
So to give an idea of the patients that will be affected, you mentioned epilepsy as one condition with regards to EEGs and other nerve conduction problems, but there are likely other neurological conditions very common that require follow-up as well for these patients. It wouldn't just be a one-off in terms of doing these tests.
Absolutely. And what I'd like to say to those patients who are listening with neurological conditions, you know, is that I wish to reassure them that regardless of what the government is up to, and those patients and relatives who are listening, we will continue to do all we can to make sure their care is not jeopardized. I'd like to make that clear mm-hmm. because you refer to the other patients. These include patients with stroke, Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, headache, neuropathy I mentioned, which is mm-hmm. nerve disease, nerve damage, and other diseases like ALS, brain injury, and multiple sclerosis, myasthenia gravis, and so forth. So you'll notice that all of these are very serious disabling patient conditions. So this is our burden that we deal with. We've been trained to do this. We need to do our work without hindrance. But obviously, this is going to be a major disaster.
Now, in terms of the investment that you make, is in cutting these fees for these tests, the government is saying that they want to cut down on self referrals, and the response has been not just from neurologists, from ophthalmologists and cardiologists as well, who have been hit the most. These groups have been hit the most for these cuts, including yourselves, have said we've spent a lot of our own money to invest in these technologies, and we constantly upgrade them. It's not as if we buy one machine and we keep this for 30 years. The technology changes. So in terms of the fees for these particular tests, were they, prior to these cuts, were they enough to cover the cost of operating the lab?
Well, Barry, I'll tell you, you know, the situation of neurology, if you look at the statistics that come out from the OMA and the government, I mean, we are really at the bottom of the barrel mm-hmm. in terms of income and compensation for some of these things. Let me give you a quick idea. Suppose you wanted an EEG as of today.
Mm-hmm.
You come to the office and the technical fee, that is what I pay my technologists and what I help to maintain the equipment, the technical fee as it stands now is $24.40,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Right.
The professional fee is $50. If we apply a 50% cut to those two, we're then paying our technician $12 to spend pretty close to 30 minutes wiring up a patient, monitoring the EEG for all that period of time, and then you're paying me $25 for interpreting mm-hmm. it. Now, I think any reasonable person would conclude that that is simply ridiculous if you're trying to maintain good quality equipment.
Well, the other thing, too, is that the those are gross amounts, and there is money
exactly.
that has to be taken off of that to actually pay for all the operating expenses of the office.
That's right.
So what would be your association's suggestions to solve this issue? What needs to happen?
Well, I think the important thing to remember is that the government walked away from the negotiating table. It was not the OMA. And I think they should really put the brakes on, get back to the negotiating table, and negotiate in good faith. And they need to be informed of where these holes lie in what they're proposing, because the impact on our patients is going to be absolutely chaotic, if not dangerous. So what we're saying is get back to the table. And any of our patients who are listening out there, I think if you have an MPP near to you, I think you should try and get that message across as well.
Well, I think the government has to get back to the table because, in fact, what they have done is they've broken the law in terms of the Canada Health Act when they were supposed to. They're not allowed to legislate changes. They have to negotiate or get a conciliator or if they can't come to any agreement, and they didn't do that.
That's right. Well, the money is just one part of what I'm saying, Barry, but we are genuinely concerned about the welfare of our patients.
Well, we can see this already. As a family doctor, I'm getting things back from consultants now that are unable to do the tests or ask me to order the tests because it would, in order to circumvent this problem, because it's the patient that suffers by traveling from place to place.
Yeah, and eventually we're going to be sending patients to the United States. Something like that.
Well, Dr. Singh, I'd like to thank you very much for bringing this to light. It's again, another area of medicine that people need to be aware of and how it is being affected by these cuts. And I hope this goes a long way to help the public understand what the government is doing to them.
Thank you very much, Barry.
My pleasure.